Nothing like a little Jan Brown on a Wednesday night. What's going on, everybody? You know who I am. If you don't, I'm going to reintroduce myself. It's your boy, Darnell Sparrow, a.k.a. the Bad Superman himself. And this is the Get Snap Podcast. And on the other side is the man who needs no introduction, but he getting one anyway. The smooth operator himself, Antoine Smooth. What's going on?
Man, what's going on, baby? How you doing?
It is Wednesday. It is that time. It's one of my favorite times. It is that Q&A. They ask the questions. We give our thoughts and opinions on them. And I love the questions that come through. You know, they give us a little bit of everything, little old school, little current stuff. They try to challenge the mind a little bit. But we're going to get this ball rolling. I just want to get started. Just knock this out of the park. Because I was looking at these questions. And these are some interesting ones, so we're going to talk about them. Ready to go? All right.
Let's do it.
We're going to take out with the first question. What are your thoughts on Bam Bam Bigelow versus Lauren Till at WrestleMania?
Oh, man, I was 15 when that match happened, 14, 15. Man, I'm showing my age right there, but anyway, I thought it was a pretty decent match, you know. Of course, Bam Bam, you know, pretty much carried that match. Didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was appropriate. You know, of course, you know, WrestleMania, you got to have some sort of celebrity either in the match or making an appearance, you know. So, for me personally, didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was pretty decent, actually. LT kind of held his own.
That's what I was going to say. He held his own. But I was a little disappointed in LT. Now, not in the match itself, but the fact that you're supposed to be a New York Giant. Why are you wearing purple?
You know what? That is true.
You a New York Giant, but represent your team, man. One of the most dangerous men in football. You land folks out. You had the LT earrings. You had the all-pro team. You had some of the baddest men on defense on your team. Should have represented them.
And then had Salt and Pepper. Then Salt and Pepper walk him out.
Salt and Pepper. No, they won by then. They sung him to the ring. I mean, you had it all. Yeah. Should have wore them colors. But I'm going to stick on this for a second. Do you think that loss kind of buried Bam Bam? Because I'm going to say so. Let me tell you why. To me, Bam Bam is a natural heel. When he turned face, it's just like all his momentum was done. And on top of that, his entrance music was pretty much the same music Lawrence Taylor had for WrestleMania. It just kind of tweaked it just a sip.
Right.
I'm like, he come out with the fire jacket on with the flames. I'm like, you was a bona fide face. Now the Bam Bam in the 80s, when he had Oliver Humperdinck, that's different.
Oh, right.
That baby face Bam Bam I could work with, but you know, he was older. You know, you're a bona fide heel. So that's why I think, you know, in a sense, that he lost all his steam that he had.
I agree with you on that. Well, let me ask you this here. You think they was the wrong person for them to kick out a $1 million corporation?
Oh, that's a tough one. For storyline purposes, no. No. Okay. For the fact that, you know, why they kicked him out, no. I think, I said he lost the Bam Bam. They tried to keep him. It just didn't work out. But like I said, they tried to send him babyface, try to team him up with Diesel. I mean, it just didn't work. I mean, he could have stayed heel and just could have just got the $1 million team, could have been like that man without a country kind of situation. All right, let's move on. Now this is an interesting one. Should teams like the Young Stallions or the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers won the WWF, I'll say, tag team title?
Oh, man, this is a good one here.
I'm going to let you sing.
This is a real good one.
Oh, go ahead.
Now, okay. Now, I'm going to say this. I could see more. I'm leaning more towards the Rougeaus than the Young Stallions because, you know, the Fabulous Rougeaus were hated. You know, either with Jimmy Hart or without. You know, they came from, you know, Montreal, Quebec, and they, you know, all of a sudden now living in Memphis, Tennessee.
Let me back you up on that. You know, when they first came, they were baby faces. They were baby faces.
That's what I'm saying. They were very popular.
Got with Jimmy Hart. They turned heel. Like I said, they did the whole Memphis, Tennessee. They had the All-American boys. They should have won it around that time when they had teams. And the Rougeos, you had Strike Force and teams like that. They should have got it wrong. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to see them win it. Now, the Stallions, to me, they could have, but I think they were like that team that they'll win all their matches at house shows but wouldn't win on TV. I mean, they had the look. Mm-hmm. They were young. They had the look and stuff like that. I mean, they were popular. But I think Strike Force kind of killed their momentum because Strike Force came on and they were way over. Now, I think if Strike Force wouldn't have teamed up, then yeah, they probably would have been a quick run, but they probably would have got a shot or got a chance to reign. Like I said, it would have been super short though. Demolition or somebody probably would have just took him from him.
Destroyed him. Yeah. Okay, I agree with that. Okay.
See, let's go to the next one. Then this is a good one. What are your thoughts on Michael Hayes winning the U.S. title from Luger in 1989 and had a 2-week reign?
I actually liked that. It made sense. You know, Michael Hayes, one thing you can say about Michael Hayes, you know, you can either cheer him or boo him. He can work both. You know, he just that guy that you like. He like you said, was like Tully Blanchard. He was a cool heel. People laugh about like Michael Hayes. And then the babyface just made it better. But the 2-week reign, I kind of understood it because, you know, Luger was the guy. You know, he was starting to become the guy, excuse me. And I think was this after the Horseman? Was this after Horseman? Yeah. After he left the Horseman, Luger became the guy. Well, he was almost becoming the guy.
They were not putting that title on him. That's why he had the U.S. title so long. But, man, I was on the fence about that. But like I said, I'm so used to seeing Michael Hayes with the Freebirds. So it was kind of weird. It's just like when Stan Hansen did it. But I liked when Stan Hansen won it, it made sense because they had the feud and how he beat Luger. Because you didn't know if Michael Hayes was either good or bad. They were like, okay, he won the U.S. title. It was just one of them ones like you kind of shrug your shoulders on. Like I said, I'm so used to seeing him with the U.S. titles, the tag belts, or even the six-man, you know, as a singles run. Now, on the flip side of that, if it was more like a TV champion thing, I probably be like, yeah, okay, that make a little sense. But the U.S. title, In that period, you know, that was a hit or miss for me. I say maybe if they would have gave him maybe a couple months run just to see, you know, how he'll do with it. Like them what do they call them short term champions?
Yeah.
Like that don't make sense to me. I mean, what was the point if you was gonna put the belt back on him anyway?
Right. That was like the thing with I understood the reason that Kerry Von Erich beat Ric Flair at the Parade of Champions back in 1984 because David Von Erich passed. I understood that.
He didn't want to go and defend it. He wasn't that champion that they wanted. You know, Ric Flair went everywhere. Sure he didn't. That's why I said Michael Hayes pretty much was like that transitional champion. I guess they tried it, didn't work, put the belt back on him. I mean, it was clear.
Back on Luger. TV champion, you're right.
Western States held the title on him for the little short reign. They had that belt. I wouldn't give him that, but the U.S., I wouldn't roll with it. Yeah. But we're going to move on. What about the actual Roman Reigns wrestled The Rock at WrestleMania?
All
right. This upcoming WrestleMania.
Should he wrestle The Rock? To the Rock. It'll be interesting, something new, you know. I would like to see them two go at it, you know. They already started a family thing with him and Jey Uso, so why not have him face The Rock, you know, one of the biggest stars in the wrestling business. And then also that's his family as well.
And right,
so
that's
I wouldn't mind
kinda,
seeing
kind of led into what I was thinking.
Should be a good match.
You're gonna if you're gonna do this, like I said, one is gonna have to make sense. You probably gonna have to go through the whole family. It's gonna get to a point where you're gonna have to go through Jay, Jimmy, Rikishi. Some other members maybe come through every now and then. You basically gonna have to turn on the whole Samoan dynasty to get to The Rock. Now, would you think they're gonna have a match, or is gonna be more cinematic?
I can't see that being cinematic. I would them have a one-on-one straight up match. That's what I'd rather see. You know, I'd rather see that than something cinematic, because that's not made for cinematics. You know, I want to see how these things actually go.
If they do this, and hopefully by the next WrestleMania they can go somewhere to have some fans, it'll make it even more better. Mm-hmm. So you think Roman's gonna hold the title all the way to WrestleMania? I don't really see no competition for him.
After Jay, who else he gonna face?
I mean, I said the only way I could see something changing is if they ever decide to do the trade or do the draft, I'm sorry, and bring some fresh faces in there.
Yeah.
And like I said, The Fiend, I see that's probably gonna be a lengthy feud. I'll say at least up to the Royal Rumble. And then they'll probably be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I would like to see it. But you know, if they do this, you know they're gonna make a huge deal out of it. I mean, they're gonna have to sell it. They're gonna have to sell it.
Oh yeah.
What they shouldn't do, and what they shouldn't do is do what they did with Rock and Cena. Yeah. Don't push it so soon. Let it build itself.
Right.
I said,
That's
let it happen unexpectedly. And there's some other. I saw another question here that's leading, that's probably going to we're into, you know, since we're talking about Roman Reigns and stuff like that. I saw another, but we'll get to that as we go along. But now this was a good question. I like this question that we got, because if you saw NXT when Finn Balor fought for the NXT championship against Adam Cole, if you saw it, they gave each other love. They threw up the two sweet at the end. So would you like to see a Bullet Club type come to NXT?
Would I like to see Bullet Club? Well, yeah, actually I would, because who here, you got them against the Undisputed Era? That would
you
be
remember,
my dream
I
to
said
see
it.
That. You know what I mean?
I said it on a podcast that at some point, they're going to kick Adam Cole out. Adam Cole's going to be – they're going to kick Adam Cole out eventually.
Yeah.
And this will make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Finn Balor get together. You need to go bring somebody from another brand in, or get somebody that's a fan to come in. At least get a third man. I mean, that would be perfect.
Right.
Now, what their name would be, I don't know. I wouldn't use the club that's already been used. But I would definitely like to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be one of them good lengthy
feuds.
One last time we had a good faction on faction feud.
Been a long time. Let's see. I could go back, but
that's
I'm not
what
go
I'm
too
saying.
Far it, back. But
I mean, I'm talking about good. I'm talking about like those DX and Nation feuds, like stuff like that, like those NWO feuds.
Yeah.
When they was fighting each other. But yeah, we need a good faction feud to happen. And in due time, I think it's going to happen. Now, we about to take it back to Memphis, in a sense. This is more your warehouse. I love to hear your input on this. Do you think that the Fantastics were Fabulous One knockoffs?
You know what? You know what? I was just thinking that when I look at them, I kind of thinking they are, because you know the Fabulous Ones, when they started out, they had the coats, the top hats, the, you know, the canes and stuff, and doing the strut, you know, because, you know, that was, of course, created by the Fabulous Jackie Fargo. That's how he created the Fab. Now, the Fantastics, they kind of, I'm kind of like 50-50 on there, because they didn't have everything. They just had the little jackets.
They strut.
And that was it.
So they had
you know?
The matching gear.
They strutted.
I wonder why so many people tried to mimic them. I was like, what made, we're going to stick on that. I mean, what made the Fabulous Ones so popular? Even I mean they were faces for a long time. You know, they turned heel. I remember '91 when Jim Cornette came around, but what was it about them besides the ladies?
Well, it was about the Fantastics. Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah, it was they, you know, it was something different. You know, the lady, it was pretty much all about the ladies. The ladies loved the Fabulous One. You know, they had two, you know, good-looking dudes, you know, Stan Lane and Steve Kern. You know, they had the top hats and the strut and the, you know, they and could
you know,
talk
Stan
too.
Wasn't a talker when both he got to the Midnight talk. Express.
So,
but we
no,
I mean,
when
we
he
know
got
Steve
to the Midnight
Kern
Express,
talk.
He let it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's mostly about drawing the ladies to watch wrestling. I think that was part of it as well. Because not a lot of females were watching wrestling, only the males.
Then they had a calendar at one time. Right. I mean, even they were heels, I mean, they had the attention of the ladies. I mean, it worked. Now, did you like Jim Cornette managing them in 91?
It didn't fit to me, him managing them, because they really didn't need one, you know, at the time, because, you know, their charisma and their outfits and, you know, the way they talked, spoke for themselves.
They came
you know?
In, they were baby faces, and Cornette comes in, boom, they turn on Lawler. Then they go out, they win USWA tag titles and had a good few with Lawler. I believe it was Jeff Jarrett, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because the Fabulous Ones weren't heels to me. They were always babies, you know. You couldn't turn them heel.
Right, just like we always talk about, you know, wrestlers that turn heel but shouldn't, or vice versa. Yeah, they were definitely one of them. Now we about to shift left. I don't know how much you know about this team or heard about this team, but I know that they don't wrestle anymore, anything like that, but somebody brought this up. They said, what are your thoughts on the Christopher Street Connection? Now,
I kind of know about them, but I think that's in your more
let
than
me
your
segue
department.
To a lot who don't know who I'm talking about. The Christopher Street Connection was a openly gay tag team. Two guys, when they cut promos, they used to kiss each other. They used to go in the crowd and kiss male fans and do homosexual stuff in the ring. And somebody said, what are the thoughts on that? I really don't have a thought on it, because it was kind of, I don't know how a lot of wrestlers did it. I mean, one match I saw them in, I guess they had a girl on the team with them, and the dude closed his eyes, and one of the Christopher Street Connection started kissing him, and he opened his eyes and realized it was the dude. Now, there are just some things, you know, even if, you know, the other guy was straight and he kind of let it ride, that's just saying something that I wouldn't allow. I mean, that's a little bit too much. Being that you're a homosexual, right. Know that that's your preference, but it's even if you know you want to bring it to your gimmick, but there's that line. I know, especially in 2020, that's just something that probably wouldn't have flew. I don't know how it flew in that match, but it is what it is. And I remember looking at some of their promos, and a lot of the interviews was feeling uncomfortable with it. So they was like really over the top. And I remember I saw one match. I mean, they got beat down. I want to say it was a Ring of Honor show. Early Ring of Honor. And they just got beat down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like I said, a lot of like situations like that. I'm having trouble connecting to the internet. Somebody would probably wouldn't say much now, but back then, I don't know. It was just one of those things that was one of them I couldn't deal with. I felt uncomfortable, and I'm watching it on YouTube.
Yeah, that's a make. I think I feel the same way. I wouldn't have done that regardless. I don't care how much you paid me or whatever. I wouldn't have done that. That's just me. You know, nothing against them. That's your preference. But me, I wouldn't have done
you don't
that
see reference. I'll just use an example. Sonny Kiss. He's an openly gay man.
Right.
I mean, he's very flamboyant, very feminine, but he don't do stuff that they did back then. They probably wouldn't say too much about it.
Especially
in this era. They wouldn't say too much about it. But like I said, that's one of the ones. I think what they make it now in pro wrestling, they'll probably be stuck in the indies. They'll probably never put that on TV. That'll never happen.
Just like kind of like with Darren Young, but Darren Young, they didn't go
Darren
all
Young,
out.
In his case, like he basically just openly came out, but he was still being his gimmick. I said now he's on the indies, he's promoting it more. He's promoting it more. Like I said, he's going to New Japan. You know, he's doing his thing down there, but you know, he kept it home, I'll say. I said, yeah, we know, because like a lot of guys like Chris Canyon, we never knew he was gay until he retired. We never knew that. I mean, like I said, some people are more open with us, some not, but more people understand some things can really. It's not because of you. Exactly. It's just, you know, especially if you're trying to get TV deals and all this other stuff, everybody's sensitive lately. Right. I mean, the sensitivity level is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they would definitely.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And I'm not saying they would, but in my opinion, I think they would not go no further than the indies. But again, this is the Get Snap Podcast. It is Q&A Wednesday night, Darnell Sparrow and Swan Smooth. No, we talking. No, we shooting our thoughts and our opinions and all this stuff. You know, some may disagree, some may not. But that's what a good conversation is. Gotta have a little bit of everything. Whether you like it, don't like it, you know. That's why we answer the questions. We answer them honestly. And that's one thing good about this show. We will definitely be honest about it. And we're gonna keep it 100. But
No sugarcoating over here.
We're gonna move on. Someone asked, if you could be in a group, faction, or stable, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. To be honest, right now, I'm gonna go right now, as a matter of fact. Not back then, but right now. I'd rather be in the hurt business right now.
I kind of would.
Because, man, they're on fire right now.
On fire.
Yeah.
Now, I say present tense, I agree. If I had to go past tense, that's hard. I mean, you know, you probably get the obvious ones, like the Horsemen and all that. But I'd rather be in a state with Gary Young. I'd rather be with Jake Tex.
Really?
I went old school on this one because one thing about Gary Young, I mean, he had Muda. That was number one. I could tag team with Muda. Yeah. He made Al Perez look like a star, and I don't know why Al Perez never won an NWA any type of championship. Mad Dog Buzzer, he had some bad boys in his group, and he can talk too. And he made you, he made you look good, real good.
Yep, that's a very good one right there. Because I'm
calling him Gary.
I'm
calling him Gary Young,
right?
That's the wrestler, Gary Hart. Thank you.
Gary Young, yeah, Gary Hart. That's gorgeous, Gary Young. You talking about
I'm going world
back
class
in
and
the, with the
everything.
wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely, yeah. I have Gary Hart sell me and make me look like $1 million. He should have had more champions.
Yeah, definitely agree. Yeah, well, he did have Muda
yeah,
as TV
that young.
champion.
At that
I think
time,
that was the only one, right?
I know
yeah.
Doug Boys, he has a championship was under his watch, though. That's why yeah. I'm going with Gary Hart on mine. We're gonna move on now. This is current. Now I saw this in the article. It's going through some stuff. They talked about the main event for Bound for Glory for the Impact World Championship. Eric Young going up against Rich Swann. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a good match. It makes sense because ever since Eric Young went back to Impact, he just been on a tear, you know, hurting people left and right. He called
right.
the world class maniac for
he
a reason,
literally
right?
Put Rich Swann out.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind seeing Rich Swann winning
out.
That match. Because I think to me, when he came to Impact, it like we really got to see how good he really is. And I think WWE really failed him. I mean, he had the cruiserweight belt, but they let that incident with him and his wife, Soo Young. I mean, that just you pretty much just told him to go screw himself. But you didn't let people who done a whole lot worse than WWE. I mean,
right? Because see, that actually worked for him too. Because him and Willie Mack, that's one of my favorite teams right now. Because those two just work well together. They just like a well-oiled machine. They
right.
got chemistry, him
and Willie
Mack.
Big dude who can do stuff that Rich Swann does. And that's crazy.
Right.
I would definitely love to see Rich Swann win that championship. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I think it's probably going to happen. I definitely think it's going to. I would love to see it. Like I said, I think if they sell it correctly, we'll know just based off, you know, what happens between now and Bound for Glory, if he's gonna win it or not. But Eric Young,
it's looking good though. I mean, it's the setup and everything
look good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like I said, Rich Swann is very, very underrated. And with that said, I got two underrated questions, by the way. So we're going to start off with most underrated big man.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know who you think is underrated big man. To me, I'm going to say the most underrated big man to me was King Kong Bundy. I think King Kong Bundy,
that's
especially in the early when he was feuding with Hogan, doing the five count. I think if Hogan won the round, he probably would have had the belt. I mean, just look at him. He had no neck. He literally was hurting people. Even when he came back with the $1 million team, I don't think he really got that push. I mean, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he in the running in the CWA?
Yeah, did a little run with had Rude
right.
and Jim Neidhart with him.
He definitely didn't get that. But who you thinking?
Mm-hmm. Well, I may be going kind of left field here, and you're gonna be like, "What is you sure about that pick?" I want to say this, Andre the Giant. Now we're talking about Andre the Giant before his, you know, before he kept growing, you know, because Andre, I see Andre drop kick folks.
I have to,
you know, right, like this is before he, you know, that's when he had the big long hair and the big chops, you know, and he just had the tights. He didn't have the singlet
until AWA
yet, you know?
Days. Huh?
And Right. And Andre could work. I actually seen him back in the 70s. He could work, even though it was like handicaps. And he did one-on-one matches too. Yeah, I mean, Andre told a story. You know, he didn't have to do much. That's what made him. You know, and of course, you know, later on, his health started to get kind of bad, you know. And but he still could work any opponent. He worked Macho Man, you know what I mean? Macho Man quick as a cat, you know. So I say Andre was, because he could work anybody. It didn't matter who it was. He could work the littlest
I know
dude in
they
the
gave
room
him
and make
quote
him look
unquote
good. You
credit
know what I mean?
for being the world heavyweight champion. But truth be
Yeah.
told, he should have legitimately had a title run. I know they were trying to. My thing is that what
Yeah.
they should have did. You want to get technical about it, what they should have did was this: Andre should have been champion at WrestleMania 3. He should have been champion, and it would have worked out perfect. Especially they really were trying to throw get Hulkamania over. I mean, it was already over, but he beat the big man. I mean, you power slam him, drop the leg, and you take the title. To me, that would have told a whole lot. It would have told a story better for me.
So you're saying, like, if Andre would have beat Hogan for the title, then it would have Hogan chase the
Right.
title and the
I
fans
said, I mean,
rally behind him.
even like I said, even if he didn't beat Hogan to win the title, just the fact that he was champion, though for that 1 minute he was popular, no Hogan had his back. Then here come Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan getting in his ear, you know, trying to tell him, you know, you're in Hulk Hogan's shadow, in a sense, and Hogan will take that title and beat him. To me, that would have told a better story.
Was a good one right there. I liked that. That would be,
As I said,
yeah,
the
that was real
run, I mean,
good.
they gave him that quote unquote Saturday Night Main Event Championship. I mean, I that didn't make sense to me. It really didn't. I think they should have just went ahead and let DiBiase have a run with the belt. Just let it ride. He Andre won it. He bought the title. Let it ride.
And also, that was the what the highest rated segment, and they said in
Right.
the
I mean, it
history
had
of NBC.
the two referees.
When Hogan and Andre had the
Let's
rematch, they had the two
stay on
referees.
DiBiase for a minute. They should either let that ride, or, and it's just my opinion, he should have won WrestleMania 4. He should have won the tournament. I know he got to the finals, but we all know, you know, they trying to get Savage over. But let's see what we got going. So we're gonna stay
That's
on underrated. What was the most underrated feud? We're talking. I see this is one of those ones when I say the listeners challenging us. Cause
Yeah,
this
just thinking
hard.
caps, man.
And we had so many feuds that we could talk about. But past the present, I think, what do you think is probably the most underrated feud? We probably had to, like I said, if they ever,
Man.
when we ever do this live and we have comments, this would have been the one I would have had to get the fans involved. Like, help us out on this one, on a good underrated feud.
I may have
Go
to
for it.
go to Memphis on this one. Oh man. It's gonna be involving Jerry Lawler. Of course, everybody
Right.
mentions him and Eddie Gilbert, right? And talk about that was pretty good. But I think him and Austin Idol
Because,
was underrated. Because, you
right.
know, at first they was partners, right? And then, you know, of course, they went against the Road Warriors when the Road Warriors came to Memphis. And all of a sudden, Austin Idol, you know, everybody loved Austin Idol, even though he was cocky, you know. Everybody liked him. He was very popular down here. And then for him to turn heel like that on Jerry Lawler, like I said, back to the cage with Tommy Rich. I don't think that got the credit it deserved because Jerry Lawler also might have went at it, tooth and nail. You know, same with him and Handsome Jimmy Valiant. I'll throw him in there as well. You know, because I still remember my parents was telling me that Handsome Jimmy, this one, he was, Jerry was a heel. You know, Handsome Jimmy came and broke the bottle. He cracked a beer bottle over Jerry Lawler's head. You know, they had some bloody feuds as well. And so, yeah, I'm going to say him and Idol and him and Handsome Jimmy were the two underrated. They don't hardly talk about that. They always talk about Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee, which is nothing wrong with that because they had the greatest feud in Memphis wrestling.
I would say for me, I think the most I had to think about it while he was talking. I think the most underrated was Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA. And I say that because they were feuding. One, they were feuding over the United States Championship, of course, and it did the whole best of seven. And Magnum TA was down 3-0.
Right.
And he pretty much had the campaign, even though he ended up losing. But the way they told that story, it was not even just the U.S. versus the Soviet Union. It's the fact you got two legit. I'm gonna say they were some badass. Both of them were great. And that's the Nikita Koloff. I mean, that big jacked up. He was jacked up then. He was just laying folks out. And he had
Not that Nikita that came out back in 88, I think. He got smaller.
That didn't look right now. Definitely looked right. And, you know, Nikita back then, he had Uncle Ivan with him. I mean, it got to a point they ended up respecting each other at the end and ended up becoming part of the superpowers.
Right. Okay.
I mean, that's definitely, like I said, they told the story. Like I said, it was over the United States Championship. That best of seven. I mean, they made that definitely work. One so hard. I think, like I said, you got a lot of Memphis history and knowledge. So you definitely can swing it that way. Even and what's good about it is a lot of fans don't know what you're talking about.
They got to throw that little history lesson in there.
But let's go on to the next one. What are your thoughts on the WWE women's tag team titles? Right. No, I'm going to go first.
I'm going to say this.
They're not using it the way should. Because like I said, you're keeping it on Raw and SmackDown, you very seldom go to NXT. This would be a good time to really push it on all three brands. But you already broke up the Iconics.
Right.
You bought. Yeah, I didn't get that.
Which I think that was dumb.
I think you bought the Riot Squad back together, which I knew at some point that was going to happen. You got Lana and Natalya together. Which to me, that's almost burying Natalya. I get the kind of where they're trying to go with it, but Natalya, one is too good for that. I mean,
right. I understand that Lana being her manager and everything, that's fine, but her teaming up with her, you know.
So they definitely, I said this would be a good time to push them teams in NXT. I wouldn't mind. Like I said, keep saying it, but I think Chauncey Blackheart and Tegan Knox should get a run with those tag belts. Right now, they got Tegan, you know, doing the whole Gargano, Candice LeRae storyline. But they gotta do something. I would love to see Chauncey Black Ortega knock with those belts. They're not doing what I figured they was gonna do with them. So I don't see them really hanging on to, you know, those title belts. As far as I say, by next year they'll probably be defunct. That might be.
Yeah, because these women's titles got so much potential. But they're
and
not
on top of the fact you broke Bayley and Sasha Banks up. This will be a good time to put some new faces on those belts.
Yeah,
but this is the purpose. All
right, like you said, the NXT. These teams you know, Kane Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Now you got Xia Li teaming up with what's that girl name? Was it Xia Li and
I haven't even watched.
I was suddenly watching NXT tonight. Jessica Mayer. Yeah, Jessica Mayer. Yeah. Them two was teamed up. So yeah, they got that potential.
Exactly
they just need to execute.
So earlier we talked about Roman Reigns, you know, possibly, you know, wrestling The Rock and something like that. But how long do you think Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns gonna stay together?
I don't see this as a long-term thing. Brock eventually is gonna come back.
Right.
You know, we mentioned this before. You know, Brock is gonna come back, and it's gonna be to the point where I'm not to say Paul had to choose which one, but to me right now, since Brock isn't there, I kind of see it's kind of a short, long-term type of deal, you know, kind of 50-50, you know what I mean? But to me, I'm leaning more towards the short end because it's a Brock. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to give it about an 80% chance. Like I said, I agree. You know, the Brock factor plays a part in it. But I'm thinking they're probably going to go to after WrestleMania. So if we see Brock, it probably won't be till after WrestleMania. And if he comes back, it all depends on how they produce that story. If Brock comes back, will he rock with him? Will he rock with him just to set up to get a title shot? Yes, it was definitely Brock Friday, but I definitely see him going. I give him maybe two pay-per-views after WrestleMania. They might kind of fade away from it. But if you really want to be honest, I see this because there's really nobody Roman can beat Roman right now. Roman Reigns could be a dominant Universal Champion. And if they go that route, then Paul Heyman with him, it's perfect. So I'm going to give about 80-20.
Right. 80-20, okay.
Now, I think we might have talked about this for a little bit once before. Like I said, we get so many questions. But should SmackDown have their own version of Raw Underground?
Why not? I mean, if Raw can do it, might well have SmackDown do it. And that way the folks that's underutilized, they could be put on SmackDown Underground. So, yeah, I believe they need to have one for them as well. Like the folks that don't be on TV that much, they can get an opportunity on SmackDown Underground. Have somebody else host
that
and
question.
Have Shane host the Raw one.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot. If that happens, who should run SmackDown Underground?
Well, from the things that's looking right now,
so
I say Samoa Joe.
You already was thinking that, because that was my guess. I'm like, that'll be.
Mm-hmm. Whenever he gets from injury, while he's you know, recovering from injury, he can do that.
Oh, most definitely. Let's see what we got. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about, we talked about the women's tag belts. We got a question, and there were rumors, because I did hear it, so I don't know if you did. There were rumors that they're possibly going to unify the Raw and SmackDown tag belts again. Would you agree with that?
Oh, that's a tough question right there, man. They giving us the questions tonight, aren't they?
And why you think about it, let me say it. It's going to depend on, you know, the amount of tag teams you got combined. I mean, if you don't have that, if you don't have that many as it is, then yeah, I can see you unifying them. But again, it's kind of thing I had with the WWE women's belt, tag belt. They can go to all three brands. If you're the unified champions, you need to go to all three brands. Mm-hmm. Understanding NXT has their own tag team championships, but that'll be a good thing to see multi-brand matches, just like the Win Worlds Collide thing. That would be good. So if they unify them, I would say, you know, keep it tri-branded. Don't get rid of the NXT tag belts. Or at least not right now. Like I said, it's going to depend on the amount of the tag teams.
Yeah, I was leaning towards that since you mentioned that. It depends on the tag team, like you said. I don't think they should, since now I kind of got the question now. Yeah, I don't think they should now, because like you said, it depends on tag teams. If you don't have enough tag teams, then there's no reason for you to do that. Now, if you have plenty of tag teams out there, then yeah, I can see it, you know. But other than that, nah.
They was talking about having
need to do it.
The Street Profits fight Cesaro and Nakamura again, but this time both tag team belts is on the line. Now let's put that on the table. If that would have happened, who deserves to be the unified out of the two?
I say that out of the two, I think Cesaro and Street Profits.
Now, I would have said that I would have went the other way, but I'm really not feeling Nakamura and Cesaro. Be honest with you, I missed the bar. I missed the bar.
That's fair.
And I believe at some point they're probably going to get back together. But again, we talked about this in a previous podcast. Cesaro needs Chris Hero. They need to. I don't know why they let that just slip by. And they both are in WWE. Truth be told, cats don't know it's NXT. But that would be something. They need to bring the Kings of Wrestling back. At least do it for a WWE exclusive. Do it for a WWE exclusive show, see how the fans like it.
Right.
And let them dictate it. Because you and I both know if they reunited, you're going to hear Kings of Wrestling. I mean, I think the merch is going to go through the roof. And I think it'll work.
Right.
So WWE, if you got a representative that listened to this show, go bring Cassius Ohno back, reunite the Kings of Wrestling. Matter of fact, when you do that, you know, make sure they're Kings of Wrestling names. All this Antonio Cesaro and Cassius Ohno. No, we want Chris Hero. We want Claudio. Can you say the name there?
Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio Castagnoli.
I nailed it finally. You know who I'm talking about out there.
Yeah, Claudio Castagnoli. That's right. Yeah.
I'm like, I ain't talking about who can't say it. That's one of them tongue twisters.
Right. It took me a minute, you know, just to say it. I had to say Claudio Castagnoli.
If you're not convinced with what I said, type up the Kings of Wrestling. Type their names up. Guarantee you, especially when they were Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. I promise you that. I would love to see them back together. I don't care if it was just for a short run. I definitely would like to see it. Now, we're gonna take it to AEW a little bit, you know, just a sip. And somebody asked, would Darby Allin be a better fit in NXT or stay in AEW?
Oh, this is an easy question here. He needs to stay at AEW. The reason I say that is because in NXT, I don't think they'll do him right. In NXT, he may get a little bit, you know, run, maybe, you know, chasing after the Cruiserweight title, maybe 205 Live, but that's about it. But in AEW, as you can see now, they're pushing him. He's a talented wrestler, you know. He's very talented. He can skateboard. He skateboards to the ring. I mean, he's a legit skateboarder. So he's athletic, you know, and he got a good gimmick with the half face paint and everything. And yeah, but WWE wouldn't have let him do that because he would have just been probably a job guy or something like that, you know. Somebody like, you know, somebody to
I see, I kind of looking at it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it from this way because Darby Allin, one thing, if Darby Allin came to NXT, let's just say he came to NXT, he'll have that young generation demographic easy. I think he'll sell a lot of merchandise.
Uh-huh.
They know he skateboards, so I'm pretty sure they're gonna find a way to market him in that outlet, you know, with the skateboard. They might actually probably start selling Darby Allin's legit skateboards. I don't remember too many people that still do it. I say if they market him right, he will fit perfect in NXT. I wouldn't even 4-5 Live. I say NXT. Like I said, he is talented. He's different. And I guarantee he'll say something in a sense of, you know, he's like a modern day Jeff Hardy. I could see them saying that about him. But like I say, he's different.
Yeah.
And I think NXT, I think they would have used him right. It just, like I say, if they would have kept him like that, and it just would have took his image, they would have marketed him. They may probably made some good money off of Darby. Like I said, he got that youth movement behind him. Yeah, I definitely see him doing something with him. Okay, next question.
Interesting. Okay.
Will Kalisto make a good heel?
Oh, I haven't really seen much of him to notice that, you know. I don't know. That's kind of a hard question to answer because I mostly see him as babyface, you know. But
I would say because I can see the heelness coming out of him. And he will make a good heel only if he do the same thing heel Del Fantasma did and turned into Santos Escobar. If he take that mask off, he got to redo his whole look. Kalisto's name got to go. You need to just reinvent yourself. Because Santos Escobar, I'm feeling that. I mean, I'm used to seeing El Hijo Del Fantasma, seeing him in different independent promotion, stuff like that. When he took that mask off and he just they just repackaged him, I'm feeling that. That's gonna be the same thing for Kalisto. If you go heel and you leave the Lucha House Party, you need to take your mask off. I mean, you got a whole new body. You got a whole new body, and I can see the heelness. He called himself the leader of the Lucha House Party, the way he was talking to, you know, his compadres when they wrestled, when he talked about, you know, watch how he do things. Again, he turned heel, mask got to come off.
So he can be like, okay, that makes sense. And then, you know, when he's, like you said, when he was El Hijo Del Fantasma, you know, that changed his whole career right there. Now he's Cruiserweight champion. He's Santos Escobar. Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Sure.
Let's see. Okay, so we talked about the Hurt Business earlier. And someone that should all the members of the Hurt Business have a championship?
To make them sure. I'd like to see that.
Yep.
Hey, you got Bobby Lashley, the U.S. champion.
Yeah, I was saying.
You know? Yep. Have Cedric in those Shelton
say,
as
I would say
champ.
Three out the four. I say MVP don't need it. I definitely Bobby Lashley's U.S. champion. Yes. I say they had the 24/7 belt when Shelton had it. And that probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah. Now, I could see MVP holding it, though. I don't mind, you know, I might see MVP get the 24/7 title. You know, because that'll be perfect for the Hurt Business. You know, the 24/7 title, that belt's defended 24 hours a day, you know. So, you know, the Hurt Business, that's all they about is hurting people. So
what are your thoughts on them fighting Retribution? Like I said, they came in, they took them on. I didn't even see that coming. So that was different.
I didn't either. The Hurt Business and Retribution.
Oh, that was definitely different. Yeah. But they got to stay heels. But I definitely would love to see, like I say, the main three, Cedric, Shelton, you know, they get some championships. The MVP don't need it. I mean, he did look good with the U.S. title, wrong with the suits and all and everything like that. But I would like to see it, too. So I'm gonna skip a couple of questions because we're getting a little short on time. You know, we've been rolling. Yeah, we've been rolling.
Oh my goodness, so, already.
Next question. Will you be purchasing WWE Battleground? Yep, loaded out.
I already got a pre-order.
I will be getting it. See, I bought so many games, I haven't even played NBA 2K21 yet. I mean, that Avengers is off the chain. If you haven't played that, I definitely recommend it. I mean, the storyline to it is real good. I mean, the realism is damn incredible. Mm-hmm. I can't even explain it. So, you a gamer, like I say, I'm a gamer. I'm not up, down type. But if you into the superheroes and stuff like that, definitely get that new Avengers.
I think I'm gonna have to cop that myself.
I mean, the realism is crazy. It's definitely crazy. Actually, scroll down.
Yeah.
All right, here's a good one. Which organization you think pushed Tuco Scorpio the best? Now, this to me should be easy.
Oh yeah, this is easy, no doubt. ECW.
I mean, he won some tag team titles. ECW. You know, in Japan, it was not. I remember Vader being one of his partners. But, yeah, ECW definitely made him look good. Now, with that being said, you think he should have won the NWA title tournament or Shane Douglas was in the right place, right time type of deal?
Yeah, Shane was at the right place, right time. Throwing the NWA title down and yeah, that because if it would have been Too Cold Scorpio, I don't think it would have received the same notoriety as it does right now. You know, but Shane was at the right place at the right time. So yeah, it was best for Shane to do that, you know.
So we definitely agree.
At that time.
So we're gonna finish it with this last question. What are your thoughts on Mr. T headlining WrestleMania 1? With Hogan.
You know, that was a huge deal. Me, as a kid, being a huge Mr. T fan, loving the, you know, being a fan of the A-Team, you know, and to see Mr. T and Hulk Hogan, that was a dream match
before dream matches.
I loved it. Right. And then you went against Roddy Piper, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Then you had Cowboy Bob Orton in the corner, and then you had Jimmy Snuka in the corner, Hogan and Mr. T. Man, that was a dream come true, man. I was when I saw me, you know, I had his cereal, you know. I had his cereal. So yeah, seeing that man was just I was in awe.
Of course you had the A-team. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how he managed to keep it. He had a strong neck.
Right.
They have all that jewelry on. I mean,
yeah, all he had was overall.
I'm like, how you saving the world?
You know,
with all that jewelry on, your jewelry never got dirty.
Never. And you got to do all that running and, like, you know, with Murdoch and Hannibal and Face and all them. You know, You got to do. How you running with all that jewelry?
Right, and I never understood that.
I don't get it.
Never understood that, but yeah, like I said, I agree with you. I mean, especially during that time, I mean, Mr. T was the hottest thing going. Then to team him up with the guy, probably the most over guy in the company. You go up against two dudes. Number one, they couldn't stand Piper back then. They could have put me and you in that match. We would have got over. Longer than we going after Piper. You had Mr. Wonderful. He had his issues with Hogan. So it made sense. Now, if you had to choose a wrestler at that time to put in, if it wasn't Mr. T, would Snooker been a good fit?
He kind of would have been a good fit because of the, you know, he was coming off the, jumping off the top of the cage on Don Morocco with that momentum. So he would have been a good fit. Junkyard Dog would have been a good fit because he was popular. He was on the same popularity as Hogan was.
Especially coming from Mid-South.
You know. Yeah, coming from Mid-South, with that momentum,
I would have
been perfect.
Agree with that one. I say Snooker at that time, it would have been a little hard.
Yeah, the reason I said just because of the, you know, jumping off the cage on Morocco. That's the only reason.
I would love to see the baby face Andre in that role. Would have made sense, but like I said, obviously it worked. He went to WrestleMania 2. It was a boxing match, but you know, something better than nothing. But ladies and gentlemen, time flies when you're having fun. And again, that is it. Time flies when having fun.
That's
and like I said, when we get shows like this, I enjoy them, even though I love all the shows we do, but these Q&As, I love the fact that you challenge us. I love that we get to bring that knowledge to y'all. Someone like, they know what they're talking about. There's some true wrestling fans right there. But before we roll out, I'm going to say, you know, we got, you know, hurricanes coming. I mean, this is hurricane season, and hurricanes right behind each other. One thing I will say is, one, listen to the news. Listen to what they tell you. I was a victim of Hurricane Katrina. I didn't listen. And when I listened, it was too late. I know what it's like to be strong. I know what it's like to be stuck. So definitely, when they tell you roll out. No, don't try to be, don't try to be that brave soul. I mean, like I've said, items are replaceable, but your life is not. So definitely, you know,
true that.
Be ready. Be ready to go. You know, especially if you got family that's close by, I mean, call them. I mean, that's their family. That's what they're supposed to be there for. Like I said, these hurricanes right behind each other. They got one. They said it may end up being a Category 4, the next one that's coming through. I mean, I know a lot of school districts in Mississippi have already, you know, been shutting down. I mean, just be mindful, just be careful. I'm praying for everybody in those areas. This is trouble. You know, I'm hogging up on the light. We're gonna close it out with you. Anything you want to put out before we close shop?
Oh yeah. Like I said, man, just, you know, be careful out there. You know, watch the news. I'm gonna pray for everybody. Hopefully that, you know, it don't be as bad as we think it'll be. And you know, just stay strong and everything will be okay. And also, don't forget to support your local
independent wrestling. Support companies like Pro Wrestling Tees. Support Collar and Elbow. By the way, go to collarandelbow.com. Use that code SNAPCUSTOMS. You will save 10%, and that includes to sell merchandise as well. And they always ask you if you want to round up what you sell. That money goes to the Cauliflower Alley Club. So they doing great things on that end. And Colin Elbow stay keeping new merch in. I still have merch I haven't even worn yet. So I'm definitely going to be doing that. Going to be going live on the Snap Customs Facebook page a lot more with that merchandise. But for now, Wednesday night Q&A is over. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't say thank you more than enough times. Definitely appreciate you listening to us. But we about to get out of here. Before I go, as always, www.snapcustoms.com. You want us to talk about certain things? Shoot us an email. Hit us up on Messenger. Check out the toy store by Snap Customs. I mean, support that young man. Christmas is coming up. You already know where I'm going with this. I'm not gonna blabber blab. I did a lot of talking already. But again, like you said, support independent wrestling. Get some shows coming up. Let us know. We will promote you. Wrestlers, you want to come on the show, let us know. We would love to have you on. You got wrestling profiles. Shoot us an email. We will let you know what we need to profile you. And then, now I'm done. So for myself, Darnell Sparrow, Antoine Smooth on the other side, this is the Get Snapped Podcast. Get snapped. We out of here.
Peace.